Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bravo Papers. We are here for our Richard Sisters Deep Dive, Part 7. I cannot believe that this became a 7-part thing. Like, in one way, I can, because there is just like a never-ending hunger out there for the Richard Sisters. People are fascinated by them. These are my most popular episodes. I was looking at my analytics the other day, and my one of the Richard Sisters episodes has officially become my number one most downloaded, listened to episode. So, and I get it, because I'm fascinated by them too, because it's such a crazy dynamic, and you know, the mom, and it's just it's got it all. You know, it's like rich people behaving badly. And I think we all love rich. Well, I do. I love rich people behaving badly. That's always like, I guess that's why I love housewives, actually. That makes sense, even though some of them are like pretend rich, but still, you know, I love it. Just love it. So where did we leave off? Oh yeah, therapy. This is, like I was saying last week, the rest of the season, there's a lot of therapy moments with Kathy and Paris. Now, the Paris ones are not as interesting because, you know, she's being pretty open about what happened to her and her abuse and stuff like that. But the therapy parts with Kathy are interesting because we get a little bit of, we get like a few little clues and tidbits. And this is the thing with Kyle and Kathy, especially, is that you always have to be interpreting their, I don't know, the clues that they leave the viewers. Like, they never say things explicitly. They don't give a lot of details. Like, they're vague. They kind of, you know, I don't know how to say it, but they allude to things without actually saying them. So, or they'll answer like yes or no questions, but they're not giving us a lot of details. So whenever we get any details from them about their mom, it's like a big deal. Like, people, and I think that's why people are so interested in them as well, is not just because of like the drama and all that, but also because they're sort of mysterious. Like, there's all these, like, it's almost like there's like lore around, you know, their childhood. Like, we've all kind of pieced together all these puzzle pieces of what we think it was and what we can assume their mom was like and their childhood was like. And you know, the stage mom, you know, was Kim abused like as a child actor? Like, we all have all these questions. And in order to answer them, you can only piece these puzzle pieces together, and we never know 100%. And that keeps the interest coming back, because otherwise it's like, you know, and you're like, wow, that's crazy. But then you move on to the next thing. So they kind of do a good job of keeping people hooked. Okay, so Kathy sees a therapist, guys. All right, Kathy Hilton is going to a therapist. Do I think she'd be doing this if they weren't filming Paris in Love? Questionable. I don't know. Probably not. But you know what? If it gets her to film, if it gets her to go to therapy, then whatever. I don't know if that really matters. Maybe just going is, you know, and having the help will open her up to continuing to go. So the therapist asks the first time that Kathy felt fearful or not heard as a child. And, you know, funnily enough, Kathy's like, she never really felt like that, which again, you know, I find that a little bit hard to believe just based on everything I've read and in House of Hilton, et cetera, but whatever. Okay. So she says she never really felt like that. I think she's protecting and still keeping things like, you know, close to the chest right now. But Kathy does say when she first got married, she had a big fear of not being successful at it, and that she didn't really ever deal with that because her parents got divorced and she didn't want to talk about it. And I think it was kind of the, like, you know, fail. I think she means the fail at like fitting in with maybe like the Hilton family, maybe, you know, living up to the expectations of this wealthy family, you know, based on everything I've read before. And the therapist asks about her mom, and Kathy says she was controlling. So we get that. We get that. That's something they'll always let us have. Like Kyle will let us have that too. She's controlling. She had an anger problem, you know, or she was quick to anger. It's funny because Kathy says she was controlling, but then Kyle and them also talk about how there were no rules growing up. So that's a funny sort of contradiction, but I know what they mean, because what they mean is that there were no rules in the traditional sense of, sorry, did I just say scent? I meant sense. In the traditional sense of parenthood, but then she was controlling of like their career and their marriages. Like, are you going to book this job? You're going to be famous. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to marry, you have to marry a rich man. Like she was controlling about the things that, you know, most parents, not, I don't want to say most parents, because a lot of parents are, you know, can be controlling about like the job their kid is going to get or who they're going to be marrying or whatever. But this was like next level. This was like, Kathy is deciding by putting her kids into show business at a young age and pushing them. And she was like literally training them to be little like wives for rich men once they got older. Right. So it does make sense. So Kathy says she's controlling, and the therapist asks, is that because she felt safer if she could control everything? And Kathy says, probably, which, yeah, I guess. Listen, I think that there was a discussion before they start filming this scene that the therapist wasn't going to go too hard on Big Kathy, because that's like a forgiving way of looking at it. Like, oh, well, your mom just, you know, she felt unsafe. And I'm not saying that her mom didn't, like, you know, it seems like Kathy's birth father was abusive from what I read in House of Hilton, if that's true. So, you know, there could be some of that. Therapist says sometimes we try to control someone so much to protect them, and then we actually end up hurting them. Okay, so here's her like roundabout way of saying it's okay, Kathy, to say that your mom hurt you. She wasn't intending on it necessarily, or maybe her intentions were that she thought she was like protecting you or giving you the best life possible, but she ended up hurting you, right? And Kathy doesn't really say anything to that. So I think that's true. I really do. I do think that, you know, I think that their mom like intended to like love them and do everything for them and, you know, make sure that they marry rich men so they never have to worry about money and that they book all these gigs so that they could have this like Beverly. And I think she thought, you know, that maybe what she was doing was like, this is how my girls are going to survive in the world. And this is how it has to be, you know, especially like with what she had gone through with men, et cetera. She probably sees like, I don't know. She sees how like once you're on your own, like you're on your own. Right. And then when she's on her own, she was like, you know, kind of, I mean, she was never really on her own, but she was between husbands at moments. But I guess, you know, then she's having to use her kids to make money. Right. I think Big Kathy saw like a way out, right? Like you marry someone like, you know, Rick Hilton, you don't have to worry about working. You don't have to worry about any of that, right? So Kathy reveals that she hasn't seen Paris's documentary. The therapist asks why, and Kathy says she's afraid and that just seeing the previews or the trailers were very hard for her. The therapist asks what would happen if, you know, you did go to see the movie, and Kathy says, I don't know. I'm always one who hides under the carpet. And Paris is the opposite. She's not afraid of anything. The therapist disagrees and thinks Paris has a lot of Kathy's fear of facing things as well. Which, yeah, I would say, you know, they probably both have that tendency to, like, you see it when you watch the show. They're both afraid to, like, bring things up and talk to each other about things in, like, a real way, especially Paris. Actually, both of them. But, you know, I think Paris, in one way, has become, I don't know, such a level of famous that, you know, she does feel the need to kind of explain a lot of like why she is the way she is today. And I think that's kind of part of this documentary. The therapist asks, you know, why is it so hard to see the struggle of your child? And Kathy says, I lived it. So I guess she's saying like she, you know, she watched her struggle as a young person. I mean, that was kind of a dumb question from the therapist. Like, why is it so hard to see the struggle of your child? Any parent sees the struggle of their child and feels it, right? Like any parent, for the most part, like a loving, normal parent is never wants to see, would rather something bad happen to themselves than their kids, right? But I mean, Kathy's not a normal parent though. So Kathy says it felt like Paris, you know, changed overnight after they moved to New York. She says, you know, she felt so fearful that something was going to happen to her. And then spoiler alert for season two, seriously, spoiler alert if you haven't watched season two. So maybe fast forward like a minute. So Paris does reveal in season two that she was raped by a teacher. So that is what led to like the sudden change, quote unquote, I believe, if I've got my timelines correct. So Kathy says sometimes, you know, her fear would outweigh her love. And the therapist says Paris wanted to express herself and this scared Kathy. I mean, like, see, this is relatable in the sense of like, you know, your kids get older and then maybe they like start like rebelling or getting into whatever they get into. That's why everyone says it's so hard having teenagers. And, you know, you do get scared because you're worried that they're going to make a decision in the teenage years that'll impact them for the rest of their lives or whatever the case is, right? You hear horror stories all the time. The therapist says the night of the intervention, you know, must have been terrifying for Kathy. And Kathy says, you have no idea. I mean, intervention is a very nice way of saying the night that you let two men come into your home and take your daughter away to go to some boarding school. And they had to like kidnap her in the middle of the night, essentially. I don't know. Anyways, I don't really have a lot of sympathy for Kathy when it comes to this. Like, I don't know, as a mom, like I just can't imagine, even like when Paris was growing up, right? Because she's around my age. So like my, I don't know. I just like, I know I was going to say like maybe attitudes about parenting were different. And there was like a moment of time with this like tough love kind of thing, but still, I can't sympathize with it. I don't know. I just wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't. But again, I'm not excusing Kathy. I don't think she has the tools to know how to deal with something like this, which is why she made such a stupid decision, really. A stupid, terrifying decision. And again, I do have a lot of judgment for her for making that choice. Like if the boarding school is like, this is how we're going to take her, like I'd be like, okay, fuck it. Like that's, how can you not know that that's going to traumatize someone for the rest of their life? It's just, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. So Kathy says after her other kids would go, to school in the morning and the house was empty, et cetera, she would just lie there with her eyes closed because she was so, I don't know, upset about what had happened with Paris. The therapist asks if her mom ever got like big and emotional. And Kathy says, oh, yeah. And says she's not like that, as in she herself is not like that. But her sisters are. She calls them drama queens. And she would just go off into another room if, you know, if they're like having like a big fight or explosion or whatever it is. Therapist says Kathy is really the matriarch and is supposed to be the safest person to talk to. And Kathy says, well, yeah, I think I am now. And now I'm ready to hear whatever she wants to share. Okay. So I guess, you know, she's like, you are now the matriarch of the family. You're supposed to be the person that everyone can come to. So you've got to be open to this. And Kathy is like, okay. So Kathy agrees to watch the documentary, which I thought that was a good tactic by the therapist, kind of play into Kathy's like power dynamic. And, you know, I think calling her the matriarch and letting her know she's in charge of the family, like I think that feeds her ego. I think she likes that. I think she already thinks of herself like that. So to have someone kind of, you know, restate it back to her is assuring to her. And also it's like, okay, you know what? The matriarch who's in charge of the family has to do hard things sometimes, you know, in order to keep all the women in the family together. So I'm going to have to watch the documentary. Like, it was a good tactic. So in episode 9, Kathy tells Paris that she wants to meet Susie, or she wants Paris to meet Susie, the therapist. And she tells her how she met her, etc. They talk, and Kathy convinces Paris to go and says they can go together, and they seem happy about it. Because Paris is very, like, she's not trusting of therapists because of, you know, the therapists at the boarding school, etc. So they're picking flowers, and Paris seems annoyed. They start talking about picking flowers for the wedding. Sorry, they're not literally, like, in a meadow picking flowers. Paris seems annoyed with Kathy's opinions. And at one point she says, you know, I hate getting interrupted every 2 seconds. And then, do people understand it's my wedding and I want my friends next to me and to not feel insulted? Because there's this whole thing with, like, Kathy wants to invite all her friends. She wants to have them, like, you know, at one of the head tables. So they're going to be closer to the bride and groom. And Paris is like, no, I want my friends closer, and et cetera. So Paris is, like, standing up to Kathy a little bit more. So Nikki calls, and Paris says, Mom is changing everything, of course. And Nikki says, well, she does know her flowers. Nikki always is kind of the voice of reason / the reminder to Paris to pick and choose her battles. So, because sometimes, like, there are battles that Paris needs to have with her mom. Like, you need to watch my documentary. You need to see a therapist. You need to not be controlling about certain things in the wedding, right? Like, where my friends are going to sit. Like, those are people. And, you know, the way that things are going to look, like, I can give you some, you can have some input, but you don't have total control. So there's that. But then Nikki kind of comes in and is like, listen, something stupid like flowers, just let it go. And I know for a lot of us, it'd be like, flowers is not a stupid thing. Flowers are very important at a wedding. But when you have these, like, rich ass people with gajillions of dollars, the flowers are going to be gorgeous. And, like, Kathy's not going to pick some tacky thing. And it's like, I think there's just a part of it that it's like, this is just something that I think you can let go. I really do. I really think you can just let this go. So Kathy jokes that she forgets it's not her wedding. Paris definitely speaks up more in this scene, like, when they're talking about the flowers, than they have before. So I was like, okay, it seems like she's, you know, standing up to her mom a bit more. These two are taking baby steps, and I mean, like, the tiniest baby steps you've ever seen. And that just shows you how fucked up it all is, because it's just like, Kathy has been so indoctrinated and trained by Big Kathy in the way that you mother and the way that you, like, control things. She's really taken on that controlling kind of persona. And I think Kathy did the same thing with Paris. Like, I think there maybe wasn't, like, I don't know, maybe there was a lot of rules. I don't know. But I do think that she's seen her, was like, this child has something, I'm going to pressure her, make her a star, you know, I'm going to be really controlling about whatever I can. And because of that, it's funny, because, like, that's actually made their relationship drift, and Paris has drifted so far away from her because of it. It's kind of ironic. So Paris and Kathy go to horse therapy. Paris chooses the weakest horse as her favorite. And they talk about how when you don't have power, you have to be strong. And that's why she chooses the weak horse. And then Kathy pulls up. Paris says Kathy was so strict, she would even call nightclubs and threaten to shut them down. So, yeah, so it seems like when Kathy was parenting, it was like, again, using her ego and status and the Hilton name. You know, Kathy used to go to Paris's phone number book and change numbers because she just felt like she was too young and she was worried about her being taken advantage of by these new people. I mean, was Kathy wrong in her worries about her daughter in New York City and the partying and this? No, she wasn't wrong. But, you know, maybe she didn't handle it in the best way. You know, the best way, I mean, the ideal way would have been to recognize that there's been a sudden shift and we need to go to therapy, maybe as a family and individually, but I mean, clearly this is not, you know, a therapy family until now. And this is like decades later, right? So Kathy says Paris was young and gullible and, you know, would believe everything people would say, and says she wouldn't do anything differently because she felt that she had to do what she had to do to keep Paris safe. And the therapist asks, do you wish your mom did feel she should have? Sorry, my notes are so messy. Okay, so the therapist says, do you wish your mom did feel like she should have done something differently? And Paris says, not send me to that school. So I think that's the part that probably Paris is struggling with. And that's the part that I don't understand why Kathy won't bend, because it's like, you should regret sending your daughter to a school where she was abused. And now she has like lifelong trauma because she's like, you know, like I get what Kathy's saying in the sense of like, she felt like she had to do what she had to do to protect her daughter. Like at the time she thought she was doing the right thing. No one is saying that you maybe, the therapist in Paris are certainly not saying like, you knew what you were doing and this was malicious. Like they're not saying that. However, you should say you regret it. You wish you had known. It was like a choice in a desperate moment. Like it's okay to say you regret that. So Paris does say she understands why parents fall for it, you know, because the school and their brochures and their website, all the stuff that they do, it's all very convincing. You know, Kathy says the fear of losing your child is so great that, you know, it kind of overtakes you, I guess, and says she's so sorry to Paris. And Paris says, thank you. And Paris says, you've never said that. And then they hug. So that's like fucked up to me. Like, how come you've never said that? Like, I would have been apologizing all day and all night, like the second I found out. So it's crazy that it took this long. And I don't think it's necessarily even because Kathy isn't sorry. I think it's because she, again, they just have this toxic, like, we don't talk about shit. Just pretend it never happened, which is so fucked up. Okay, so in episode 9, Paris talks to Nikki and finds out that Kathy is intending on coming to the bachelorette party, even though she wasn't invited. So you could see how, like, Kathy just kind of inserts herself in places. Paris says, you know, she didn't want to say anything because her and her mom are doing better, and her mom is like an unconventional mother of the bride, but you can tell that, you can definitely tell that she does not want her mom there. Kathy tells Nikki that she was invited by Paris, and Paris is like, no, that's not true. Carter is definitely annoyed when she shows up, but they all play nice because, again, that's how this family is. See, like, in a normal mother-daughter, like, my mom would never do this, but just say my mom was, like, crazy and decided she was coming to my bachelorette. I would, like, I feel I would be able to tell her. Like, I would be like, no, mom, the bachelorette is not for parents. You stay home. There's some people who, like, want their mom at their bachelorette. Fine. But, like, in this case, which is, again, if you have that relationship, that's fun. Or they could come to just like one part of it, like the dinner or something, and then not the club. But like, clearly Paris didn't invite her on purpose because she wants to like let loose and party. And she and you could tell there's a tension. Whenever Kathy's around, it's like Paris and everyone feels tense. It's like Kathy has this presence that's very, that can make people nervous, I think, especially the generation that's younger. So Carter's definitely annoyed, but he plays nice, like I said. Kathy seems awkward at the bachelorette. Everyone seems awkward. It is like the most unfun party ever. It's funny because they have all the money in the world. They have like acrobats and shit at this bachelorette. It's like they have access to everything, and it just looks like the worst party. Like, you couldn't pay me to go to this party, honestly. Well, maybe you could, because I would just want to observe the drama, but Paris even says, like, she's like, I'm not having fun at one point. Paris says she doesn't like to drink in front of her mom. So see, that's it too. It's like, she can't like drink and let loose and whatever. And then she says she doesn't really drink, and her friends all start laughing because she does clearly drink. Kathy even goes to the club later. I'm sorry, I couldn't help but laugh. Like, I kind of felt bad for Paris and all her friends because it's like, they're just trying to have fun. But yeah, Kathy goes to the club and they do end up having fun at the club. That's the funny part. Maybe because like the music's loud, they can't really talk. I don't know. Paris admits Kathy is like the life of the party. Like fans are coming up to her because at this point she's been on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and now she's got all these fans. You know, then they go to what's it called? The casino. And the Carter gets all excited because he wants to bet on who's going to officiate the wedding. And they do this roulette thing because basically Carter wants one of his friends to officiate the wedding. And Kathy and Paris want Father Ed, who's like an actual minister, which like, of course, like, why are we doing Carter's friend? Paris doesn't want Carter's friend. I mean, like, she's the bride. I don't know why Carter is even like, maybe this was a joke. It didn't seem like it. But Paris is like, I want a real minister. The roulette lands on Paris and her mom's first choice. But Paris seems really annoyed. Like, she does seem really annoyed. I thought that was interesting just because I was like, this is the one time Paris and Kathy are on the same page. And now Carter is like, I don't know, sort of throwing a wrench in it. I don't know. I don't trust this guy. I know this is all about the Hiltons, but if you watch it, he's weird. He's got weird vibes. I don't know how else to say it. He reminds me of like, he doesn't remind me of Luke from the Valley because they're absolutely nothing alike, but they both give me the same vibes. Like something's off and I'm not sure what it is. So, okay. In episode 11, Kathy is telling her friend Vera how they're going to Washington. So Paris is going to be going to Washington to like discuss legislation for stopping these types of schools where they kind of like trick parents and then they're abusive and etc. She says to her friend Vera that, yeah, we did go to therapy. So yeah, I'm going to go to Washington and then I'm going to watch the documentary. She says it like it's a checklist. She's like, I'm going to go to Washington. I'm going to watch the documentary. Check, check. And maybe once I get all this stuff done, I won't have to talk about this shit anymore because this is very hard for me. It's funny because Kathy's perspective on this is kind of like this is a to-do list and that once it's done and she's done her, you know, obligations like watching the documentary and going to Washington, she can be done with it and, you know, wrap it up in a nice little package with a bow, slide it under the bed and don't think about it anymore as she does. I don't think she's really changed that much, let's be honest. So, okay, so they go to Washington, they get to Washington, and Kathy says, you know, she's proud of Paris, and they're on this bus with all the survivors from, like, you know, the school that Paris went to, but also other types of these boarding schools, and they're all kind of, like, cheering and pumping themselves up before they get to the White House, and Kathy is just sitting there in silence, like... just looking out the window, looking sad. Everyone else is like cheering and like, we're going to do this. Woo. And they're like doing a chant. And Kathy is just like in her own world. Like she is distraught. She looks so just nervous and unsure. Like you can tell this is like her, doing this. This is her worst nightmare, like literally her worst nightmare. Okay. So Kathy says, in her confessional, her and Rick thought they were doing the right thing, sending her to boarding school because this wasn't just like a teen girl who's like not listening, not doing her homework. This was like she's going off into the streets of New York for a week and no one knew where she was and they couldn't let that continue. Well, okay. It's funny though, because every time Kathy talks about this, it very much is about her. Like, you know, as much as, you know, I do think she feels some empathy and pain in terms of Paris. I also think that a lot of it and a lot of her, the reason she's had trouble dealing with this whole thing is because she believes it reflects badly on her. And I think she's in fear. And I think her fear is that people are going to turn against her. They're not going to like her. They're going to be like, how could you do that? How could you send your daughter there? What's wrong with you? Which that's a valid fear. Because I mean, I even said that a few minutes ago, but yeah, like I see it's, and again, like that's kind of bad though, because it's kind of like, that's this very selfish way to look at it. Like it's about her. It's not about like wanting to heal her daughter. So Paris describes her abuse in her speech. Kathy looks very uncomfortable and also shocked because she hasn't watched the documentary. And you can tell that she's like shielded herself from all the media news about it. Kathy is ready to go as soon as it's done. She like goes right into a car and she goes into a different car from Paris and everyone else. Kathy is asked by press, you know, about Paris and speaking up on this day. And she says she's proud of her and she supports her as well as all the children and the parents. So, you know, PR answer. Paris in her car is like, is she mad at me? Because I didn't say, because I said they didn't come get me. So I guess Paris at one point does say that, you know, she was there and her parents didn't come and get her. Then she goes on to explain, though, that, you know, it wasn't, well, she explains in the limo that it wasn't her mom and dad's fault because, you know, they tell the parents not to come get them. But I think that is why Kathy's upset, like I was saying, because she's upset about how this is going to reflect on her and her image and all that kind of stuff. So Kathy says, you know, hearing Paris speak and feeling her pain, her heart's breaking. She says, you know, it wasn't just Paris and I, and then she starts crying. She's like, you know, so to me, you know, Rick wasn't there with me in front of all these people. I'm listening to this. I really feel bad. I just didn't feel it was something I was really struggling with and nobody would understand what we as parents have gone through. And then she's like absolutely sobbing. So the sense that I can make of this like broken up confessional is basically that, you know, it was just her. You know, she didn't have her husband there. They're in Washington. They're talking about this very traumatic thing. Paris is going on. She feels bad. On top of feeling bad for what Paris went through, she feels like everyone's like looking at her and judging her. So, you know, and this is kind of like the first time we really see like a breakdown from Kathy about this. And listen, I don't think that this is like, oh, you can only feel bad for yourself. You know, she can feel bad about Paris and also feel bad for what she did, but also feel bad about, you know, how this might look for her. And she might also be fearful of that. Like all these emotions can be happening at the same time. I'm just saying that a lot of the time it seems like the focus is often on how it's impacting her. And the focus is often like, well, we have to make sure that it is clear to everyone that I didn't know that these people were abusive. Like there's a lot of concern around that. So, and again, if I was Paris, I would want apologies from my mom. Like that's what I would want. I would want my mom to, I don't know, like I would want my mom to be showing constant like regret and guilt. And like, because I'd want my mom to have to live with the burden, but because her showing that would help me feel just a sense of closure and like other people feel for me and are empathetic. So I think, you know, a lot of this strain in this relationship is really because Paris is mostly seeing her mom be concerned about herself. And that's a problem. And again, I understand on camera, maybe Kathy not wanting to play that up because she doesn't want the audience to think like she wants to make sure the audience knows that she didn't do this knowingly. However, off camera, you can do that because the fact that she said she was sorry to Paris that moment on camera and Paris is like, that's the first time you've said that. Like, that's pretty crazy that she's never even said it like behind closed doors. Okay, so where was I? So Kathy's friend asks if she's spoken to Paris this morning and Kathy says she hasn't spoken to anyone. She woke up in Washington like after the press conference and she cried all day. She didn't want to talk to anyone. You know, Kathy says some things aren't fun. Okay, thanks, Kathy. Thank you. But it gives you more of an understanding. She says her heart was racing and to think she's kept all this in for all this time. So yeah, that is the thing, Kathy, is some things aren't fun and you and your family need to feel more comfortable opening up when there is something like this happening. Because that is why she held it in for so long, because you all just sweep everything under the rug. Kathy says Paris didn't tell her about this until she was doing the documentary. And she again talks about how her and Rick didn't know. Like, it is like beating a dead horse. Like, we get it. You didn't know. No one's saying you knew. Like, it's just, it's a lot. And then she breaks down crying again to her friend. So Paris and I don't know. I was supposed to say Heather. I don't know what planet I'm on. Paris and Kathy get back together to talk. And Paris reiterates that it wasn't Kathy's fault and that they didn't know. So you could tell Paris feels like, I have to reiterate this on camera or else my mom's mad at me. Which it sucks that she has to, like, while working through all this trauma, she has to also worry about her mom being mad at her, protecting her mom's feelings. Like, it should really be the other way around. They reflect on how they didn't get, you know, a lot of phone calls when Paris was away at the school. And anytime they did, if Paris started to say something, they would cut off the phone call. Kathy even talks about how she came to the school at Halloween and Christmas and decorated the school for the kids. But Paris says, as soon as you guys left, they took all the decorations down. And Kathy's like, what the fuck? So listen, I mean, the fact that she doesn't know any of this is crazy. Like, all these years later, right? That just shows how much this family does not speak. Like, this, it's wild. And I'm not saying, like, Kyle and Kim are necessarily like that with their daughters, because I don't think they are. But, you know, again, like I've said before, Kathy's the oldest. And, you know, I think being part of the Hilton family has made her very closed and, like, controlled in a way. So Paris comes over. They watch the documentary in Kathy's movie room, and she says she feels ready now because she's had, like, enough time to digest it and that she's going to do it because it'll make Paris feel good. They watch it. Kathy gets emotional at the end, and she says, I hope you know, I totally understand how you felt, but we did this to save you. You were uncontrollable. It was out of control. We had 8 or 9 months before you turned 18. And we thought she just needed to finish this program or we would never forgive ourselves because she could be gone forever. So it's funny too, like, it's just so funny. Like, that's the first thing she says after they finish watching the documentary is, let me sort of justify that we did this, instead of saying, I'm so sorry you went through that. That must have been so hard for you. You know, does making the documentary, is that cathartic for you? Like, none of that. It's like, I hope you know that we did this for your own good. Like, it was kind of that. Like, it was kind of, like, fucking nuts. It's like Kathy really thinks that she has to explain herself away with everything, but she also is just, like, she's so unable to look outside of herself. It's really crazy. And that is very Big Kathy. Like, everything Big Kathy did with her daughters and all the pressure she put on them and all of that, it was all about her. It was about how she was going to make money. She was going to, like, live the high life. It was, like, you know, how it was going to reflect on her. And, like, it's just, yeah, it was, it's not a lot has changed between Big Kathy and Little Kathy. I do think they're a lot more, you know, maybe besides, I don't know, marrying multiple toxic men, I do think that Big Kathy and Little Kathy are very similar. Little Kathy is, like, maybe a slightly watered down version. Okay. So where was I? Kathy says you have to experience the darkness to appreciate the light. They hug and they say, I love you. Then we get the bridal shower. We get, you know, it's a lot lighter, the feeling now, because, you know, they've watched the documentary and they've talked about stuff. And, you know, we get some Real Housewives of Beverly Hills sightings here. Dorit, Garcelle, Kyle, Lisa Rinna. Who else comes? Sutton shows up. It's funny because at one point, Kathy asks Sutton if she and Dorit are getting along. And Sutton's like, shut up. And Kathy is like, I never know with anyone in this group. Dorit feels so out of place. Like, she just, you can tell the only reason Dorit is at this bridal shower is because she's on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and because Kathy's currently on the show. So she had to invite the cast, but, or she maybe was like, okay, I'm trying to, like, be friends with this group. But you could tell Kathy still has no fucking idea what Dorit's name is. Like, you can tell she's just like, who the fuck is this, like, fake rich woman? So they're all there and Dorit just looks, yeah, she just looks, like, awkward. Kathy says to Kris Jenner, they go into like another room and they're sitting on some couches and talking that she did the registry. And, you know, Paris didn't understand the registry and that she still has her things from her wedding. It's 9 days to the wedding. You know, Kathy and Carter getting along. And Kathy says that she realizes now that he was just trying to help and he just wanted to plan. She has a new nickname for him, Augie, and has stopped calling him Octopus Groomzilla. They go to try food for the wedding from Wolfgang Puck. So sorry, this is after the bridal shower. Paris has kind of like a meltdown because she gets the seating chart and her friends aren't anywhere near her. It's all Kathy's friends. So Paris calls Kathy and she leaves a voicemail and is going on about how annoyed she is. So we do get these moments where Paris does like stand up to her mom, but it's not often. So she goes on about how annoyed she is. Basically, Kathy made it so Paris is sitting with all of Kathy's friends, which is crazy. And Paris is trying to like last minute change it because they're literally like, this is literally the day of the wedding that she finds out about the seating chart and it's too late. So she just gives up, which I think was definitely Kathy's plan. Like Kathy was probably like, you know what? I'll just do this under the table. She's not going to know about it. By the time she does, it'll be too late and I win. So Kathy is like giddy on the wedding day. Like this is her wedding. She's also like lying down on a counter and washing her hair in a sink. And, you know, she does go into like mama role at one point. She's like, everyone get in line. Like when it's time for them to like line up to walk down the aisle and stuff. But overall, you know, they have the wedding and everything goes well. And it's like, okay. And then they lived happily ever after. Like it's definitely like they kind of wrap it up like that. So that's the end of season one. For the next episode, I'm going to be doing season two. To me, season two was way better and way more interesting, especially when it comes to the whole, like Kathy's role in it. In one way, she was sort of less involved in season two, but the moments where she is involved were a lot more interesting. So yeah, so I really like, even season two had a lot of people talking and season two was kind of what made me want to do the whole like, you know, Kathy, Paris and Love kind of special episodes for the Richard sisters deep dive. I originally wasn't even going to do it. I actually had to go back and rewatch season one. But as soon as I was watching season two, like I just started taking notes. I was like, I have to talk about this on the podcast in some way because yeah, season two is pretty interesting. So I'm going to end it off here for today and then we will get right into season two next week. So, you know, you have your fair warning. If you want to watch, I do suggest that you watch it because, you know, I think it's just makes it more fun to listen to. All right. And just a reminder, if you're interested, I am doing a rewatch of Ladies of London on my Patreon. So it's patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And every week we're on season one right now. We're going to watch all three seasons of Ladies of London. And I am recapping weekly, like one or two episodes a week, depending on like how much happens in the episode. If you know, I have two episodes that not a lot happens, then I do two together. If I have like one episode where there's like a crazy drama, I might just do one, but it's on there. And I also do, you know, four extra podcast episodes a month for $5 a month on there. And, you know, I do kind of more deep dives like this on like, not necessarily deep dives, but sorry, kind of like whatever topic in the Bravo world is on my mind that week. And I'll talk about it in more depth rather than like on my weekly news where I'll go through a whole bunch of stories. This will be like choose one thing that is interesting me that week or is maybe going on with like one of the shows like Dubai or New Jersey, let's just say, for example, because those are what's on right now. Or just say there's some like big news story that hit, you know, and I'll talk about that in more depth. You know, I talk about Summer House a lot on there. So, you know, there's a lot of back episodes and content. So check it out. And I know usually I release these Richard Sisters episodes on Sundays. I just had a very busy weekend, so I couldn't do it. But I will try to get the next one out for Sunday and get myself back on schedule, but it will be within a week from today. All right, everyone, have a fantastic week. And until next time, keep overanalyzing Bravo. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoAndBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoAndBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.